Well, you know my theory. It's the 20% of the people on the far right and 20% on the far left that are ruining this country for the rest of us. We deserve better.
The Andy Finch Show. Something special in the airwaves.
We deserve better. We deserve better.
We are back on the Andy Finch Show, and our final topic tonight, Mike, is detainees and detainee treatment. So the president went on the offensive about 3 weeks ago, and in preparation for the election, and this is really my biggest objection, is he is insisting on holding this debate right before the election. And I'll come back to that, but that is what the way in which George W. Bush has politicized this issue of detainees. He thinks it plays well for Republicans. Republicans' prospects are in the toilet, so he and Rove are bringing this out now. Now, the Supreme Court ruled in the Hamdan decision about 3 to 4 months ago that the Bush administration could not hold the trials that they wanted. They wanted these military tribunals, but not held under traditional military tribunal rules, rules that they created in which they didn't show the defendants the evidence against them. Well, that's not how we operate in this country. And so Supreme Court slapped them down and said, you can't be doing this. You got to go to Congress. Congress has to pass rules. So Bush waited until September, actually maybe late August, but right before election season. And then he gave a series of remarkable speeches right before the September 11th anniversaries. He talked about the NSA spying program in one, which we're not going to cover tonight, and said he needs that or you're with the terrorists. And Congress better do something about giving him more freedom on that. And he talked about the detainees. He admitted in a speech, rather extraordinarily, that there were CIA secret prisons overseas. He announced that he was not closing them forever, but he was removing the 14 prisoners that are left in those prisons. At one point, it was like 100 people, and taking them to Guantanamo. And then he's going to put them on trial. And so he turns right around to Congress after holding these guys for 4 years, incommunicado. Even the Red Cross didn't interview these terrorist suspects. He now says to Congress, you need to hurry up and pass this bill I want exactly as I want it before the election, because we need to put these guys on trial and bring to justice the people who planned 9/11. Well, that all sounds good, but what is the rush after 4 years? Well, the rush is there's an election in 6 weeks. So that's my biggest objection to the way Bush, Rove, and frankly, Dick Cheney have handled this, because this has Cheney's fingerprints all over it. And in fact, there was a report today, reporters getting to the bottom of it, say that Cheney is behind this, that he and Addington, the guy that replaced Scooter Libby, are the hardliners that are behind this, which is interesting. But basically what happened was Bush sent a bill to Congress and said, you must pass this in the form I want or America won't be safe. And the Democrats, lily-livered scaredy cats that they are, weren't going to probably speak up because they know they'll be tarred with the same brush they were tarred with in 2002 and 2004, that if you don't give the president every tool he says he needs, you're soft on terrorism and you don't care about America and you're with the terrorists. So they probably weren't going to speak up. But then John McCain spoke up. He was held in a prison camp for over 6 years in Vietnam. He knows something about torture. He was tortured for months and years. Lindsey Graham spoke up, another U.S. senator, formerly in the JAG Corps, knows something about military justice. And John Warner spoke up, a third senator, head of the Armed Services Committee in the Senate, and a well-respected veteran and 30-year veteran of the Senate. These three guys hung together and said, Mr. President, you can't hold trials of these guys without letting them see the evidence against them. It'll be overturned in U.S. courts eventually, so it won't get you anywhere. Secondly, we got to talk about this torture issue. You can't hold people incommunicado, and you can't torture them. The president had said in these speeches that what he wanted was for the Article 3, I guess it is, of the Geneva Convention to be spelled out in more detail. It basically said, you can't torture, and it has some other terminology. And Bush said, well, the CIA doesn't know what it means by torture. And so we want you to spell it out. And Bush was claiming what he wanted was specifics. Will you allow extremes of hot and cold? Will you allow waterboarding? Will you allow each of these? And the problem is that part of the beauty of that standard, which has been in place since 1949, thank you very much, we've been using it just fine around the world, part of the beauty is that it is ambiguous. They're not supposed to spell out and say, you can abuse people this way, but you can't abuse them that way. The principle is to have a gray line, but a line that people won't step over. Right. And so if we say you can't torture, you won't do a lot of different things that you might otherwise do. That's what civilized countries should do. Now, the arguments against this are not very compelling, because what happens is that one argument you hear from talk show hosts and some pundits on the right is that, do you think Al-Qaeda's paying attention to this? No. So we should be able to abuse the Al-Qaeda guys because they live outside the law. They behead our people if they get hold of them. So why should we treat them with any consideration? Well, there's an easy answer to that. We are a civilized society. We want the moral high ground. We claim to be better. We claim to be the ones that want to spread democracy. You have to have standards to do that. Mm-hmm. The second thing is they trot out the imminent threat scenario, that you mean to tell me if there was a nuclear bomb planted somewhere in American City and we had the guy that planted it, you don't want to have him tortured or waterboarded or subjected to extremes of heat and cold to find out where that bomb was? Yeah, we would. But give me an example of how, when that's happened. It doesn't happen very often. The majority of situations are these people that are held for years. So the question is, how will we treat them day to day, week to week, year to year? The other piece of this is, the other fallacy is that I hear radio talk show hosts come on and they talk about specific prisoners and say, this guy's an Al-Qaeda leader. We know he's a terrorist. You're telling me you want to treat him with respect? The problem is, it isn't, these are not rules just for the guys who we know are guilty. You know, it reminds me of TV shows where they paint someone as so evil, right? He's totally callous, disregard for human life, blows people away when he walks into the bank to rob it just for the fun of it. These people are so evil, when they get killed at the end of the cop show, you say he got what he deserved. And so they paint these prisoners as all being the worst of the worst. We don't know that they're the worst of the worst. That's part of the criminal justice system, is trying to figure out what we're dealing with. And so there was just this article last week, a series of articles about the Canadian man of Muslim extraction who was tortured by mistake. He was turned over by Canada to, he was on the terrorist watch list, put on it by Canada by mistake. He flew in through the United States. The U.S. grabbed him. Instead of sending it back to Canada and clearing it up, we shipped him to Jordan. They drove him to Syria. He was tortured in Syria, was released. Now Canada says, you know, it was a mistake. He was never had anything to do with terrorism.
My bad.
Those are the people who also end up in Guantanamo or in the secret prisons. Without oversight, how do we know how many of these people are actually innocent and how many are the worst of the worst that maybe we don't care how we treat them?
Right.
That's the other piece of this.
Well, I would also argue that these types of tactics also help Al-Qaeda with recruiting and whatnot. These guys finally do get released. They didn't have a beef with us before, but they sure as heck do now.
Yes, that's right. That happens when we invade homes over in Iraq, all of it. It's just war is messy. That's the problem. I guess the last couple of things we need to say about this is that one of the things I hear talk show hosts talk about is, are you telling me you're not willing to pretend waterboarding? You're not willing to let these guys think they might die? Come on, this is just a fraternity prank. That's what Rush Limbaugh said about the Abu Ghraib stuff, right? Also, they argue that extremes of heat and cold, come on, you're not willing to. Hey, I want to say to any talk show host that is callously talking about that these things aren't so bad and we should be able to do them to people we suspect of being terrorists, that they should be, there should be a little exhibit in Guantanamo for talk show hosts that want to test it out. try one night, just one night in extremes of heat and cold. They strip these guys down to their underwear, leave them in a blank cold cell without blankets and sheets and mattresses, and subject them to 55 degrees temperature. You say, 55 is not bad. That's all it's going down to tonight. Sleep outside in your underwear and tell me how you feel. Extremes of heat and cold are torture. That's the other thing, is I hear the defenders of this on the air say, it's not torture. This is extreme techniques, but don't call it torture. We're whitewashing away the term torture. Now, I know I'm going to sound like a bleeding heart liberal here, but the main thing I want to get across is we don't know that all these people are innocent. How many trials have we had out of Guantanamo? At one point, we had over 500 people in Guantanamo, or over 700. We've released several hundred. There's a couple hundred less left. But the ones we released, a lot of them, it turns out they didn't do anything. We don't have any evidence they were terrorists or even terrorist sympathizers. And we've released them without so much as an apology, as far as I can tell. So the problem is not that I don't want an Al-Qaeda, a leader of Al-Qaeda abused. It's that innocent people get caught up and there's no oversight. The secret prisons, there's no oversight. Guantanamo, we're trusting the executive branch to handle this and to handle it fairly. When they're going to play hard line, there has to be some recourse, which is why McCain and Lindsey Graham and John Warner said, we've got to have some rules about this, about how we treat people and how we deal with this. So I guess as we close here, I'll just say that they say they've got a deal. And what's interesting is the disconnect. McCain came out yesterday, and after the Bush administration has been asked multiple times about this, Tony Snow, the president himself, Condi Rice, were all asked, now, under this new deal, is waterboarding now out of the question? Is it illegal? Because we apparently have stopped using it, but Bush reserves the right to use it again. And they all say, we're not going to talk about specific techniques. I'm sorry, but as an American citizen, I want to know. They're saying, we want to keep Al-Qaeda in the dark. We want them to fear what they might face when we get them. No, I'm sorry. This is America. I want to know whether you think it's okay to near-drown people and scare them to death. I want to know. And right now, they're not telling us. McCain says waterboarding's out of the question. He said that yesterday. So I think we got a Mideast peace here. That is, both sides are seeing what they believe here. And I don't think they've got agreement yet. The bill's not signed. It all remains to be seen whether we really have an agreement between the Republicans in Congress and the Bush-Cheney administration. That'll do it for another edition of the Andy Finn Show. Thanks for being here, Mike.
Thank you.
Who do the Redskins play next week?
We play the Jacksonville.
Okay. I could be. So we might be 1-3?
Absolutely.
That's too bad. The Andy Finn Show will be back next Monday night. We'll hear how the Redskins did. We'll hear how the Bush administration did. We'll hear how the plagiarists did. Until then, remember, do it. Don't doubt it.